This is Solidarity Journal. Share in a common voice. Just might find your own.
To think that this was John Doe,
it's like the argument about the arguments in
part. It's Tuesday, February 21st, and you're listening to Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's one and only Pacifica radio affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo. On today's show, we'll be looking at the American Legislative Exchange Council, or more often referred to as ALEC, and its large and secretive role in our politics, our legislation, our food, environment, healthcare, and almost everything that is linked to our daily lives. We'll also hear how cities across the nation are getting involved to raise awareness on ALEC, and what they're planning to do to confront legislation that benefits corporations and not the people. So stay tuned to Solidarity Journal on the front lines of radio resistance. Listening to Solidarity Journal on WAZU 90.7 FM, Peoria's one and only Pacifica radio affiliate. I'm your host, Michael Perillo.
The Internal Revenue Service has been asked to investigate the nonprofit tax status of a Washington-based organization that its critics say has played a key role in helping corporations secretly draft model pro-business legislation that has been used by state lawmakers across the country.
Almost 2 years ago, Center of Democracy and The Nation magazine published a leak that revealed 800 pieces of internal documents linking a nonprofit free market policy group called American Legislative Exchange Council, the acronym called ALEC, to corporations and politicians that works out legislation bills. Each of those files contains a piece of model legislation handed to lawmakers in the past four decades. These documents were once only available to the 2,000 legislative and 300 corporate executives. But it must be understood that ALEC is not a front group or a lobby. More than 98% of ALEC's revenues come from sources other than legislative dues, such as corporations, corporate trade groups, and corporate foundations. What they are capable of doing is draft bills and give it to state legislators to do model bills that are like wish lists for corporations that have task forces that are set up to propose these pieces of legislation to rewrite our laws in this country to work against us. About 180 ALEC bills are enacted each year out of 826 bills that are proposed. To get an idea of the variety of bills we're talking about, Lauren Regan, who's an attorney and part of the Civil Liberties Defense Center that represents activists across the country, gave a lecture recently on ALEC and the different bills it's a part of.
They have been supporting bills for public subsidies for private schools. Like I mentioned, restrictions of voting rights for college students and people that don't have driver's licenses. They support unlimited secret corporate spending on behalf of political candidates and parties. And they've worked on behalf of oil companies to undermine climate change proponents. The pharmaceutical manufacturers have been passing bills to the various states that they should be banned from being able to import prescription drugs from other places. They consist of Bayer, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, and Pharma that I mentioned, which is the Drug Industries Trade Association. They invested $134.2 million in state campaigns, and more than half of that was from Pharma alone. They've also been working with telecom firms to block local authorities from offering cheap or free municipally owned broadband. They've been fighting against insurance companies to prevent state insurance commissioners from requiring insurers to meet strengthened accounting and auditing rules. Big banks like Bank of America, etc., they have recommended a bill that seniors be forced to give up their homes via reverse mortgages in order to receive Medicaid. The asbestos industry worked with ALEC to try to shut the courthouse door on Americans suffering from mesothelioma and other asbestos-related diseases. And finally, we all remember Enron. ALEC was behind the deregulation of the utility industries, which then eventually caused the U.S. to lose what the Securities and Exchange Commission estimated as $5 trillion in market value.
To understand how corporations and politicians get involved, each corporate member pays an annual fee of between $7,000 to $25,000 a year, and if a corporation participates in any of the 9 task forces, additional fees apply, from $2,500 to $10,000 each year. Less than 2% of ALEC's funding comes from membership dues that cost around $50 per year, paid by state legislators. And then there's individuals like the Koch brothers, the oil billionaires who believe in drastically lower personal and corporate taxes, minimal social services for the needy, and much less oversight of industry, especially environmental, that has shaped legislation touching every state in the country. Also, ALEC gave the Koch brothers its Adam Smith Free Enterprise Award. Koch Industries has been one of the selected members of ALEC's corporate board for almost 20 years now. Lisa Graves, executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy, talks about the Koch brothers' decision to partake in ALEC.
ALEC has a number of resolutions through one of its task forces that embrace nearly every free trade agreement that has been proposed. We traced back to see some of the origins of these provisions in terms of the think tank world, and we found that David Koch had founded an organization called Citizens for a Sound Economy. It's since split off and in essence become Freedom Works, which is one of the arms of the Tea Party, run separately. And David Koch has been instrumental in a new group that many Americans have heard about called Americans for Prosperity, which is also in essence arming the Tea Party with misinformation, with disinformation. And so this group, the Citizens for a Sound Economy, started pushing really hard for free trade agreements in the 1990s. And that was an era of tremendous what was called protectionism for American industries, America's steel industry, steel workers, our timber, a whole set of industries that were the backbone of the American economy, the backbone of the American middle class, the backbone of fueling the American dream. And so Citizens for a Sound Economy was pushing for free trade. These groups aligned with it, corporations aligned with it, were pushing for free trade. Those sorts of resolutions became, those sorts of ideas became resolutions within ALEC, within a network of the right-wing think tanks, and they've been pushed forward. We also found that Citizens for a Sound Economy used the sort of stock shock in the late 1980s and 1987 as a basis for calling for repeal of Glass-Steagall, which are the protections that were passed just after the Great Depression to protect against banks gambling in the stock market. And so an early call, the early call to repeal Glass-Steagall came from David Koch's Citizens for a Sound Economy. And of course, what you see in provisions that are throughout the trove of documents from the secretive ALEC that are in the tax and budget area and the trade area is this extreme corporate agenda to basically be able to outsource American jobs, to ship U.S. jobs overseas, and limit taxation on corporations, which is helping to lead to the revenue crisis that we have. We have a crisis in being able to raise money from the wealthiest corporations and make them pay their due, ensure that they're not just banking profits, ensure that they're actually paying their fair share.
ALEC operates like an arm of the Koch brother agenda, circulating bills that make their vision of the world concrete. This basically takes away any power we have in our politics and puts it in the hands of those who do not share our interests or concerns, but who want to fundamentally change how we're able to have a say in the way we shape this country. Another thing that ALEC has been a part of is the many of the toughest sentencing laws responsible for the explosion of the U.S. prison population. Prison labor for the private sector was legally banned for years, pretty much to avoid unfair competition with private companies. But this has changed due to ALEC and its Prison Industries Act that was put forth by a program called PIE, which stands for Prison Industries Enhancement. Mike Elk touched on this during a segment on Democracy Now.
By far one of the most perverse effects that ALEC has had on American society is the dramatic increase in the amount of prisoners incarcerated in this country. In 1980, there were only 500,000 people incarcerated in this country. Now that number has quadrupled to nearly 2.4 million. One out of every 100 American adults is in prison, the majority of them for nonviolent drug offenses. The United States has 4% of the world's population, but yet we have 25% of the world's prisoners in this country. And a big part of the reason for that is ALEC. Starting in the 1980s, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, started passing bills in individual states to privatize prisons. So now, there's prison companies that could make money by keeping people in prisons. So then ALEC, what they did after that, was they got states to pass tougher drug laws, tougher laws that would put prisoners away for a long time. In fact, one of the first bills introduced in 1995 by then Wisconsin State Representative Scott Walker was an ALEC bill, where he cited ALEC statistics, and he was an ALEC member, where he drew his inspiration. So they put a mass amount of people in jail, and then they created a situation where they could exploit that. And now what we're seeing is the incredible rise of prison labor, where you have prisoners making as much as 20 cents an hour, making everything from the electronic components and guided missiles to breaded chicken patties that your children are eating at school, to maybe even these office chairs we're sitting in now. We have over 100,000 prisoners employed working for private corporations. And before the 1990s in ALEC, this did not occur in this country. So what ALEC wants to do now is reform the parole system in this country, privatize it. So now prisoners have to put up bond with private bail bond companies that are owned by big Wall Street firms, where they have to pay outrageous fees in order to get out of prison. And this is something that we haven't seen before. So ALEC, no matter the issue, can find a corporate sponsor. Look, for example, at the Arizona immigration law. My colleague at In These Times, Bu Holliday, showed that ALEC arranged meetings between the Corrections Corporations of America and the Arizona state legislators sponsoring the anti-immigration bill, because having more immigrants detained means more prisons. So on just about any issue, ALEC can find a way that there's a corporate partner that can profit off of it.
Prison labor has already begun to weaken the business of the corporations that do not use it. In Florida, Prison Rehabilitative Industries and Diversified Enterprises, also called PRIDE, is a privately held nonprofit corporation that operates the state's 41 work programs. This has become one of the largest printing corporations in the state, its cheap labor having a major impact on smaller local printers. The situation is popping up in other states across the country. Furthermore, several states are looking to replace public sector workers with prison labor. But not all of these attacks are going without some resistance. More recently, an attempt to reclaim a voice in this profit-over-people society, Occupy Portland coordinated with 60 other cities, calling for Wednesday, February 29th, a nationwide day of action on ALEC and corporations that have contributed into ALEC. This action, called Shut Down the Corporations, has an extensive website at shutdownthecorporations.org that breaks down ALEC on each issue from the environment to healthcare, making it easy to plug in your issues and understand it better in relations to ALEC. I had a chance to speak with Jasmine Zimmerstucky from Occupy Portland, and who is part of the National Organizing Committee, where she and others have been getting ready for the upcoming February 29th day of action of Shut Down the Corporations.
Well, the goal of F29 is to shut down the corporations that are members of ALEC. And there are a couple of other peripheral goals that come along with that. You know, like I said earlier, ALEC is largely a secretive organization, and they would ideally like to remain secret in the way they're interweaving corporate rule into our country. And so we're going to be out in the streets in over 60 streets across the country, over 60 cities across the country. People will be out in the streets protesting ALEC and ALEC member corporations. So this is huge. ALEC has never seen a protest like this before, ever. And we are very excited that the level of awareness about ALEC and its involvement in our country is going to just skyrocket across the country. So that is going to be a huge win for people who are fighting against corporate power in America. And like I said, there's over 60 cities across the country, everywhere from Hilo, Hawaii to Occupy Wall Street, Hartford, Connecticut, Wichita, Kansas, Phoenix, Arizona, a couple of cities in Portland and Peoria, Illinois, who are all going to be coming together on this one day. And this is a really unique thing. The reason that we're so excited to have ALEC as a target is because so many cities across the country, or so many groups across the country, have our individual struggles against privatized prisons, for single-payer healthcare, for environmental regulations. And all of these things are interwoven under ALEC, because ALEC has chipped away at all of these things, all of these things that we want to work towards for a healthier future. ALEC is rolling it back. So all these different groups from across the board are coming together on February 29th under the banner of exposing ALEC, of shutting down the corporations that are a part of ALEC and forcing them to be on trial to their citizens and their consumers about what they've been doing to our country.
Although this is the biggest protest to date, there have been large protests in the past. Jasmine talks about how Portland Action Lab and Occupy Portland came together to create this day of action and what they hope to accomplish and achieve.
The first large mobilization against ALEC was the end of November 2011, and that was down in Arizona. And that was the first time that ALEC had really been protested on a large scale. And there were many members of indigenous groups across Arizona who came to protest ALEC and its involvement in the environmental issues in their area. And that's where people in Portland really started to hear about ALEC and started to learn about the terrible things it's been doing. So a group of people who call themselves Portland Action Lab, were sort of the direct action branch of Occupy Portland, came together and decided that ALEC was so big and so evil that it was worthy of a national call-out for a day of action. So so we formed a spokes council to organize a direct action, not only here in Portland, but also across the country, and have been working on for the past 2 months at organizing a big march here in Portland and also connecting with occupies across the country, telling them about ALEC, getting the resources out there, and then slowly, but definitely surely, occupies across the country have responded very positively and are, and like I said, more than 60, over 60 cities across the country will be protesting on February 29th. And we really hope that this can be a springboard for two things. One, a direct action network. Occupy groups get national call-outs, almost weekly. And we are hoping that we are, through our very intentional organizing with F29, that we're helping to create the groundwork of what could be a more efficient direct action network to share resources and ideas around National Day of Actions. And the second thing we're hoping to do is raise awareness about upcoming ALEC conferences that are held across the country multiple times a year, including upcoming Salt Lake City, North Carolina, and next November of 2012 in Washington, D.C. So we're also trying to infuse this idea that we can all, as Occupy groups, come together and fight ALEC as a very effective midterm goal in what we see as the long-term goal being a restructuring of our society in a way that is healthy and not based on corporate profit and individual greed. Dismantling ALEC is what we think a very approachable, reachable goal as midterm goal as we're all working together towards that long-term goal.
And then ask Jasmine what type of corporations are being targeted for this day of action.
Definitely, we're really encouraging people who live near an ALEC corporation headquarters to go there and protest directly at the corporation headquarters. The other thing that some groups are doing is weaving this critique of ALEC into an ongoing campaign. I know in Southern California, they're weaving this anti-ALEC messaging and education into an ongoing campaign that they're a labor struggle with Walmart truckers. And Walmart, of course, is also a member of ALEC. Here in Portland, what we've done is we have put a call out to groups across Portland to for direct action on February 29th. And we are not home to any ALEC corporations, but ALEC is still very well represented in our town through our grocery stores, our cell phone stores, our everything. All of these, we have ALEC branches, I guess, here in Portland. So across Portland on F-29, individual affinity groups will be taking direct action throughout the day, and all of those actions will be supported by a march of people who did not form affinity groups to take action but still wanted to come out and show their support of a movement against ALEC. So that march will weave through the streets of Portland while direct actions are happening across town, and hopefully serve as a support role for people who are choosing the direct action approach. So that's what we're doing here in Portland and across the country. I'm really excited to see what groups come up with in terms of their messaging and the way that they're deciding to spread the word about this.
Nonviolent direct action has been brought up as a tactic for the day of protests against ALEC. I asked Jasmine to explain this and what she hopes to see across the country when activists use direct action to make a creative effort of shutting down the corporations.
Well, direct action is directly confronting or opposing the thing that you feel is oppressing you or your culture or anyone. So people can take direct action probably in thousands of different ways. There's the more traditional, what we think of direct action, the civil disobedience, the going in and sitting down in a corporation and doing a mic check until police physically come and remove you and you get a trespassing violation or something along those lines. We're hoping to see a lot of really beautiful, beautiful and creative actions that are both confrontational in a way that there creates a tension between the corporation that makes them uncomfortable with their role in ALEC and what they're doing to the community, and also educational for the people who haven't yet been exposed to what ALEC is. And so that can just happen in so many different ways, and I'm really excited to see how across the country every city will add their own flavor to take this direct action. And direct action isn't always about civil disobedience or coming up with the biggest and flashiest way. It's about reclaiming your power, and depending on where you're at in your own disenfranchisement in society, that can take a really long time. So starting with a protest is a very powerful thing if this is where you're at, this is where your group is at. You know, escalating to a sit-in or a march in the streets is another way of direct action. But it's all about reclaiming the power that that we as individuals of the society should have, that corporations are strategically, through their money, taking away from us.
Well, that does it for today's show of Solidarity Journal. Before we wrap it up, just wanted to mention that next week, on February 29th, there'll be actions to shut down the corporations right here in Peoria. Occupy Peoria will be having a day of action in downtown Peoria on 300 Liberty Street, which is the corner of Liberty and Adams Street, right outside Ameren at 11 a.m. Ameren has been targeted for its large contributions of money towards ALEC and its connections with Peabody in order to change laws in favor of them. If you want more information, please check out Occupy Peoria's community Facebook page or go to occupypeoria.org. Also, there will be teach-ins at Bradley University, hosted by the Bradley Action Committee and Occupy Peoria. The first teach-in will be tonight at 7 p.m. in Bradley Hall, room 250, which is on the second floor, and the topic will be about SOPA and PIPA acts that were tabled recently by Congress. Then, on Friday, February 24th, there will be a day of teach-ins at the Marty Theater, which is the basement of the Student Center at Bradley University. The day of teach-ins will start at 1 p.m., and the different topics are titled How Occupy is Making a Difference and Why Movements Matter, Creating Beloved Community, Student Activism and the Civil Rights Movement, The Haves, Have-Nots, and The Fight for Social Justice, and finally, Citizens United Decision and How Super PACs Are Influencing the 2012 Race. For more information, go to Occupy Peoria Bradley Action Committee Facebook page. And before we go, just remember you can search for WAZU updates at its website, wazufm.org. And to hear my show, tune in every Tuesday at 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. for Peoria Exposés, or go to radioforall.net and search Solidarity Journal for past episodes. So until next time, keep up the resistance.